Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, episode 427. Here comes the bride. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, July 6th, 2025 in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
It's good to be back with you today. We had a week of vacation, and if you've never been to the Ark Encounter in Kentucky and the Creation Museum, highly recommend that you go. I second what Tanya had shared when she shared the message under the tent about seeing the Ark. It's really just awesome, really amazing to see the Bible come to life, really. Yeah. They do such a wonderful job of depicting it and reading scriptures. There's a lot to read, a lot to look at. I was being told after a few hours, no more reading. I want to read things. Okay, praise the Lord. But it was good, and God spoke to my heart. Welcome to Michael and Linda, alive and good, that are here with us today. It's so awesome to have you in the house. What a blessing. Be welcomed. Today is a special day for many reasons, and I'm going to have my husband come up here if he's available just to start the message. I'm gonna do, which mic would you like to use, the white or the black? The black? Okay. I'm gonna do a little interview style here, ask him a few questions. That's for you. When I have a mic in my hand, it just goes up to my mouth. I'm already wired. Okay, thanks. Good thing I've got him to keep me on track here. Praise the Lord. So wanted to ask you a few questions. If you remember back to our wedding day, we got married October 6, 2018, almost 7 years ago now, praise the Lord. And I wanted to ask him, what did you first think of, at the moment of us getting married? What was your first thought?
When I was at the altar?
Yes.
Okay. All these memories came to mind. Can you turn Sarah down a little bit? So God had promised me a wife, and when I saw her coming, I was thinking, how many of you guys saw the movie Runaway Bride? That's not a good movie. That movie came to mind. I was thinking, oh boy, hopefully she doesn't run away.
That was your first thought.
That was my first thought.
And then when you saw me coming down the aisle that I wasn't running, didn't have sneakers on.
Then I remember the promise of God. He had promised me a wife while I was asking. I had questions about whether to stay in this church or not. If you have seen Latino churches, we love gathering together and different things. But God had promised me a wife, and one of the things he said to remain still. He told me to stay, to remain still. And then 10 years later, I was asking the same thing. I was like, where is my wife? Where is she at? And then he said, just a few words, be at peace.
Okay. So then when you saw me coming down the aisle, after the I hope she doesn't run thought.
Yeah, I was like, wow, this is really happening. His promises are yes and amen. This is happening. I'm getting married. And she looks beautiful. Look at that. She had a white dress, and it was just, I almost started crying. I had something in my eye.
I think there's video evidence of that. The hand goes up like this. There's video evidence, but it's all right. Yep. Something in his eye. It was really hot, so it was probably sweaty.
No, I was just being truthful. I mean, I was just overwhelmed with happiness that, I don't know how you, sometimes when you're happy, you cry. So, anyways.
Yeah. Okay. Praise the Lord. Anything else you want to share about?
Nope, that's it.
Okay. Praise God. Thank you. Well, the title of the message today is Here Comes the Bride. We can all sing. Dun, 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 right? So, there is much imagery throughout the scriptures of Jesus being the groom, the bridegroom, and his desire and his choice of taking the church, that's you and me, those that have confessed Jesus as their Lord and Savior, as his bride. And it's just really exciting that the same way that Santos saw me and thought, wow, she looks beautiful, and God made me a promise, and here it comes into my life now, and just filled with such joy and delight. That is the heart of Jesus with his plan to take, when Jesus comes back at the second coming, to take us, his church, as his bride. And, you know, we see the videos about Israel, and we see what's happening in Israel, and the time is short. I don't know metaphorically where the bride is. Are we coming down the aisle? You know, are we still getting ready? Are we still preparing ourselves? I believe we are, but maybe we're further along in the process of getting ready, and we're about to finish getting ready and start walking down the aisle. You know, I don't know. We don't know the day or the time, right, that he will come back. But I just want to look at some of the scriptures today, what the word says about this, the symbolism that the Lord uses for us, the church, being his bride, because it's really special. You know, a wedding is special. It's a celebration. Someone said to me, oh, and we have a reception after the wedding ceremony today. We have a time to fellowship and break bread together. We're also celebrating communion today. So the Holy Spirit just put all of this together. It really is a celebration. And that's how it will be on that day when Jesus returns and the church is raptured, taken out of this place. And there will be a wedding feast, a marriage, the marriage of the Lamb. I'm getting ahead of myself in the scriptures, but we'll look at some of those. So Christ is the, you know, the old-fashioned term for it is the bridegroom, or we say today the groom. He has sacrificially, he has given himself, the sacrifice of Jesus, given himself and lovingly chosen. He made a choice to take us, the church, to be his bride. Now, that's just amazing in itself, don't you agree? Because, I don't know, when I examine myself, you know, there's some things that's like, am I worthy to be the bride of Christ, if you think about this? But he made a sacrifice on the cross by sending his son Jesus. He made a choice because he loves us so much, and he's so excited to take us as his bride. And that's just amazing. So let's look in the scriptures. In the Old Testament, we'll start there. Just look at some of the symbolism that is painted here for us, the pictures that are painted. And as we read these, let the Holy Spirit minister to you, because you know what? Each one of us is the bride. We are part of this collective, the collective church, the bride. We are the bride of Christ. And may he, the Holy Spirit, today give us a revelation of this, like, he's choosing to marry me. Wow, that is amazing. The creator of the universe, the one who sent Jesus to die on the cross, loves you so much, sacrificed for you so that you could get ready and come down the aisle. I mean, he really gets us ready, because it's the blood of Jesus. It's what he did. He prepares us. But we need to also position ourselves to walk with the honor that it is and the calling that it is to be the bride of Christ. So in Isaiah 61, we'll start there. Isaiah 61 verse 10 says, look at the emotion here that's written. I am overwhelmed with joy in the Lord my God, for he has dressed me with the clothing of salvation. What would that look like? The clothing of salvation. And draped me in a robe of righteousness. I am like a bridegroom dressed for his wedding, or a bride with her jewels. Any ladies like, I know there's ladies that like bling bling, that like their jewels, right? You adorn yourself with jewels, with bling bling, and imagine on the wedding day, you're going to have some bling. It's okay. It's good. But can you imagine what this is, that he has dressed us with the clothing of salvation? If you think about the stain of sin and what that does to us in our human nature, think about Adam and Eve in the garden when they sinned, they disobeyed God, and they ate of the tree they ate the fruit, right? That God said, don't eat this, right? Of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. There we go. Came out. Praise the Lord. And so in their sin, what did they do? As soon as they sinned, then they realized we're naked. Sin brings shame. Sin brings fear. And because they felt ashamed, they hid. Right? What did they hide themselves in with? Fig leaves, right? Fig leaves. And then God asks, where are you? Not because he didn't know where they were. He was wanting to know how they were processing, what's going on in their mind. Because remember, when he put Adam and Eve in the garden, he created them to have, I mean, it was a paradise, to have complete union with them, to have complete freedom, for them to have this total intimacy, to walk in the cool of the day with them. And sin tainted all of that, didn't it? Fear came in, shame came in, condemnation, and so they had to hide, right? And then a little bit later in Genesis 2, I believe it is, right, that God provides animal skins to cover them. And I was thinking about this, and I was inspired by reading, I don't know if it was at the Creation Museum or at the Ark, but I was reading about the coverings that the Lord dresses us in. And at that time, God provided this covering, the animal skins, to dress them instead of the leaves of shame and guilt and condemnation. The animal skins were a foreshadow of what would be to come, right? Jesus dying, the lamb on the cross, because Leviticus says that only the blood could make atonement for our sins, right? And the life is in the blood of the creature, right? And so blood had to be poured out. So God, in the garden after they sinned, gave Adam and Eve these animal skins. He provided for them. He clothed them. He covered them in their nakedness with his grace and his mercy, even though they messed up. I mean, that's just, I've been processing through this. The grace of God. We had the crimson stain on us. But here, in this imagery, back to the imagery of wedding, he has dressed me with the clothing of salvation. Can you imagine? Can you visualize what your clothing of salvation looks like? Some might have polka dots, some might have bling bling, but essentially it is him covering us, saying, I love you so much, I'm going to cover you in your mistakes, in your disobedience, in even turning your back on me, because I love you and I want you to be saved. That's his heart. That is his heart for us, his bride. He draped. I mean, just it's like very poetic words, right? It could have just said, he put on me, he slapped on me, he threw on me a robe of righteousness. No, he draped it on. He draped on me a robe of righteousness. I am in right standing with Christ Jesus, with God, because of Christ Jesus. Because he dressed me in this clothing. And then it says, I am like a bridegroom dressed for his wedding. Sharp suit. You know, just without wrinkle, ready to receive his bride. Or a bride with her jewels. Awesome. I love that. It's such a beautiful picture. Glorious. is glorious clothing that he has given us. If you are born again and you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you are dressed in that clothing. Ask the Holy Spirit this week, what does my clothing look like? What is that clothing that you have dressed me with? The robes of righteousness, the clothing of salvation. He might show you more details to it because he knows you and he loves you and knows what you like. Praise the Lord. Let's look at Ephesians, in Ephesians 5, 25 through 27. He's using the same metaphor here of Christ, the sacrifice of Christ, for giving up his life for us, the church. And at the same time, he's giving instructions to husbands and wives throughout Ephesians 5. So Ephesians 5, 25 through 27, it says, "For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her, totally gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean." That's what he did for each of us. He made us holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. Oh, don't you love when the word washes you? Maybe sometimes it's not so fun. That's a good word. Sometimes it's maybe a little painful. Sometimes it brings conviction, right? Sometimes it brings rebuke or correction. But oh, don't we need that to be his glorious bride, to walk in dignity as he's called us to be his bride. And so I didn't even finish. I just preached through the verse. Washed by the cleansing of God's word. Verse 27 of Ephesians 5. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. Praise the Lord, because of Jesus' blood, because of his robes of righteousness, because of his clothing of a salvation that he has put on us individually and collectively as the church, then we will be found without spot or wrinkle. Praise the Lord. That's his work. And we just have to position ourselves. We have to line up for that. Get ready. Line up down the aisle. Get ready when the wedding coordinator says, okay, let go. Walk. It's your turn, right? Praise the Lord. So it's the work of Jesus, but we do need to position ourselves. We do need to be ready. Christ, he gave up his life. He freely gave up his life for us. Why? Because he loves us so much. It says here, he gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean. He did this out of love to make her, the bride, that's us, set apart. That's what holy means, set apart and pure. So then, like I said, he's giving instructions at the same time using this metaphor to husbands should show this kind of sacrificial love to their wives. Amen. Wow. Wow, wow. And the church, the bride of Christ, will be holy and without fault because of our union with Christ. Because we say yes, because we allow ourselves to be positioned with Christ in unity, we say, yes, he died for me. I'm part of the bride. Then I get in line and he will make me without spot or wrinkle, without blemish. Amen. That's exciting. In biblical times, the betrothal period when a couple was engaged and to be married. They had plans to get married. So during that time, they called it the betrothal period. They were separated. The bride and groom were separated until the wedding. Well, isn't that like now? We, the bride of Christ, we are separate from our groom, Christ Jesus, until what they call the church age finishes, right? And Jesus comes back to get us, to get his bride. And so we're in this betrothal period where he has promised to come back for us. He has promised to take us as his bride, and it just, we're waiting. It hasn't happened yet. Have you ever thought about, first, I guess this is a good question, have you ever thought about yourself as being the bride of Christ? I know it's a little bit different for the men, perhaps because of the gender there, but the point is, whether you're a man or a woman, the point is to have intimacy with Christ, to understand that he's given up everything for you, and he loves you so much, and he's paid a ransom for you. And so have you ever thought then, if you're the bride of Christ, you're the love in his heart, what is your responsibility? What is the bride's responsibility during this time that we're waiting for him to come back for us, during this betrothal period? Are we just putting perfume on all day and blinging ourselves out? You know, we're preparing for him. Our responsibility as the church waiting for Jesus to return is us to be faithful to him. Because, I mean, I could ask Pastor Santos this question. He wouldn't be pleased if I, you know, was suddenly had my eyes on to marry a different groom all of a sudden, or switching aisles to the wedding down the street or something. Right? He is a jealous guy. He's going, thumbs down back there. That would not be good, right? He's jealous for us. The Lord Jesus wants us, his church, to be faithful to him, to be pure for him. Let's see what that looks like and read a scripture about this in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 11 talks about this. 2 Corinthians 11, 2 through 4. It says, "For I am jealous for you with the jealousy of God himself. I promised you as a pure bride to one husband, Christ. But I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted, just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent. You happily put up with whatever anyone tells you, even if they preach a different Jesus than the one we preach, or a different kind of spirit than the one you received, or a different kind of gospel than the one you believed." Now, the context here is that Apostle Paul is writing a letter to the Corinthians, and he's bringing some correction to the church. But I wanted to leave in those verses that say that about, you know, Christ has promised you himself, and he wants one bride. He wants that bride to be pure and wholly devoted to him, not looking elsewhere of, oh, I wonder what other groom can come my way. I wonder what else can satisfy me. You know, in the world, there's so much, isn't there? So much that could satisfy us, that threatens to pull us off in different directions. Work and money and power and the lust of so many things in the world, right? Consumerism. And look what's on sale over here. And we can be consumed with all these things. And Christ wants our undivided attention, like it says here. And not to be deceived of the cunning ways of the serpent. We know who that is, the serpent, the defeated one, Satan, right? Because he will try to pull us off. He will try to pull us away from that undivided attention and devotion to Christ. He's going to try. I mean, he's the one in the crowd of the wedding going, you know, when they say, how do they say it? If anyone objects, how do they say it? Hold your peace. What is it? Forever keep your peace, right? They give a chance for anyone to object. Well, Satan's over there knocking over chairs, trying to disrupt, keep the bride away, bring in other things to distract the bride, to pull her off track. He is doing everything he can with all of his schemes and plans to not allow this wedding to happen, right? He's upset about this. But Christ's plan will prevail. There will be a wedding feast. Amen? So being faithful to him, what does that look like? How can we be faithful in this time that we're waiting for him to take us back? That means no other gods, no other idols, no other things in our heart that steal really our attention and our affection for Christ Jesus. Don't be deceived off the path of truth. Don't let sin take you out and take you away, because, man, it will, right? And as soon as you open a little door, oh, I'll just have one. It won't hurt me. It's a slippery slope, like Matt Eckhart preached at least one night, to multiple nights. He talked about sin and the weight of sin, right? And how that pulls us out. I love the message that he gave, that he was saying that sin is a place that you go. You go away from being focused with your eyes purely devoted and focused to Jesus, and it's a place that you go, that you intentionally make a choice to go. Well, while we're being faithful, we're waiting for Christ to come back for us, for this wedding to take place. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. How do we do that? How do we keep it? There's so much vying for our attention. We fall in love with Jesus over and over again. I'm preaching to myself. Fall in love with Jesus over and over. You are the bride. The bride is supposed to be like totally smitten, right? Totally. Do you remember those first days when you fell in love and you were, oh, wow, there he is. Oh, better, 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 better. You know, I mean, however that looks for you in your relationship with Jesus, we should stay enthralled with him. We should stay delighting in his presence. I know I've told some stories before, but just to share, there was a time in my life that God was calling me to deeper intimacy, and it was also a period of time when I was receiving restoration, because I had some wrong ideas, thinking that people, men specifically, like a man, like the promised, you know, my future husband, would be the one to fulfill my heart. That person would be the one to give me praise and affirmation and give me a sense of security. Well, that was all wrong. And God had to bring down those lies, basically, bring down those high walls. And during that time, at the same time as he was bringing down those lies, he was drawing me to his heart. He was drawing me into this marriage, really, this intimate relationship with him. And I lived in Argentina with the YWAM ministry in a house. It was like old style Italian house. Our neighbors would joke with us that it was like, you know, like the clown car where all these people just keep coming out and they're like, where is it coming? That would be us. Like, we'd all go out for an evangelism outing or something, and it's like people just keep coming out of this house. Like, where are they stuffing these people? And we were from all different nations, and we had all different tongues, you know, languages that we spoke, and all different backgrounds. But the point is, trying to have your quiet, what they called it in YWAM, quiet time, your devotional time with the Lord, when you have the girl next to you that's singing off key with her Walkman, I just really struggled to stay like connected to Jesus in a way that, you know, she's singing, blessed be the name of the Lord. And I'm like, oh, I can't hear you, God. Like, so I would set my alarm. It was like the Lord just told me to do this. Sometimes I would just wake up, and sometimes I would set my alarm because I was being intentional to spend time with him. And I would go downstairs, and we had like an all-purpose room that had the beautiful like Italian-style mosaic floors, and it was like a ballroom. And most of the time, the tables were out of the way, and I would put on worship music, and I would dance with the Lord. I would dance before him. I would just have this private time at 2-3 in the morning. Sometimes it was hard to go back to sleep after, you know, 2 hours or whatever it was. And I'd have the word, and God would speak to me, and I would journal things. It'd be fun to read the journals from those days. But The point is to seek him out. I encourage you to seek him out. Get away. Get in the secret place with him. For me, living in that environment, it had to be at 2 or 3 in the morning where it was quiet. And I got a rude awakening on the night before there was a test or a paper due. The room was all, it was our study room. So the room was filled with everyone cramming for the test, finishing their paper at 2 or 3 in the morning. And I'm like, hey, you guys are ruining my, you're in my space. This is my secret time with King Jesus, with my love. You know, it was like, okay, plant, don't bother waking up at those nights because they're all, the procrastinators are all down there, finishing their assignment. Anyways, let's ask the Holy Spirit, how can I be intimate with you? Ask him. Ask him. He'll tell you. How can I get ready for you to come back? How can I prepare as your bride? Because he wants to do it. Oh, he wants to speak to us. He wants to get align our hearts to his. And when you have those kind of special times, oh, it aligns your heart. It really does. It's like you walk around like, Jesus, and you're in a good mood. I mean, it's awesome, right? Praise the Lord. That's how it is with me. One other quick story. This was, I'm going to grab a tissue. So pivotal for me in my, at the conclusion of this school, the counseling school that I went through to really, it's to take you through the process of healing and restoration, and so that you can minister that to other people. And I'm so thankful for that in my life, that time, that season. And God was ministering to me, like I said, taking down all these lies about that other people would be the one to satisfy me. I mean, I didn't know that I had all those lies until he started revealing those things. And it became sort of my own personal slogan, like, Jesus is my lover. He's the lover of my soul. And I would say that to myself during this time. Like, I can be totally satisfied and totally filled in him. And the school staff had a like prophetic worship night, and they set up different stations in the room, and they just said, we're going to just let the Holy Spirit minister here. And they had people playing music, and there was just a time of worship, and we were all worshiping the Lord. And I'm there, and nobody like started to move yet to like the different stations. They had a station that was beautifully decorated with like a waterfall, and you can step in this little pool. There was another one where they would wash your feet. You could have your hands washed, like different stations, right? And the Lord, while we're there worshiping, and the Lord says, will you dance with me? And I was like, what do you mean? Will you dance with me? I'm like, I'm not going to dance here with all these people. I'll dance with you tonight at 3 a.m. Will you dance with me? It got stronger and stronger. Will you dance with me? And I'm like, my heart is pounding. I'm like, well, there's all these people here watching. Like, this is my intimate thing. This is, you know, it's different when there's no one around. Will you dance with me? And then it was like, are you going to leave me hanging? Like a guy at a fancy ballroom dance, gentleman, and goes to ask the lady, will you have this dance? And the girl maybe just turns around or ignores him or doesn't answer. Like, you're just going to leave me hanging? Like, that was the sense that I began to feel. And it was heavy, and it was like, oh, no, I guess not. How do I dance with you? And then I had this flash of one of the staff of the school, a man. I saw his face. He was staff. He part of the ministry team, and I saw his face. And it was like, okay, so I'm supposed to go up to him and ask if he'll stand in for Christ Jesus and dance with me. Well, I walk over to him. I'm sobbing already, and I couldn't. I just stood in front of him crying, and he's like waiting, you know, like pull yourself together, you know. What's happening here? And then I blubbered out in Spanish, I told him, I said, the Lord has asked me to dance. Will you stand in? And he like went like this. And so we did this fancy, slow ballroom dance, and everything else faded away. I closed my eyes. I snotted all over this poor man's shirt. I mean, I was just sobbing. It was so healing for me. It was a beautiful moment. I don't know if anyone else saw. It didn't matter because I was with my love. And he asked me to dance. And I, praise the Lord. By the grace of God, I had the courage to say yes and to do it. And that was so healing. And I'll tell you what, we all need those experiences because in a marriage, you're not going to be healthy and whole and be able to give love and receive love if you don't have that first from the Father. If you don't have that from Christ Jesus, you will be looking to your spouse and it will get unbalanced. It will be unhealthy because you're looking to them to fill something in your heart that only He can fill. That only He can fill. And so let Him love on you this week, bride, the church. That's my encouragement to you. Get away with Him. Get into His Word. You don't have to do like me and dance or, you know, twirl around or bling yourself out. If you want to do that, do that. If you want to lay on the floor, however it looks, just connect with His heart and allow Him to speak to you and to fill those places that only He can fill. Okay, back to Ephesians 5. Wives, you thought you were going to get off easy. We have a responsibility too, right? We are the bride of Christ. But in this Ephesians 5, where he's using this metaphor, he already said to husbands what they need to do to give their lives sacrificially like Christ gave himself up for the church. So to wives, he says, this is Ephesians 5, verse 24, as the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. Wow. In everything. And you know what? I'm just going to say a real quick thing here about marriage. That this works when both husband and wife are doing what the word tells each one to do.
That's right.
And we shouldn't be looking, well, he's not doing that. Well, she's not doing that. Do your part. You do your part 110% and it'll be good. You know, God will make the rest. He'll fill in the rest, right? He'll make it come around. But as husbands give themselves up sacrificially and think of their wives first, as he instructs us to do, as he's saying that's how Christ loves us, then wives, it will be easy to submit, because when you feel loved and cared for, then you will like walk around like that smitten bride, that smitten one who's like, okay, what can I do? What can I do to please you? And it works. The circle goes around. So praise the Lord. Gosh, this could be like a whole series, really, but I just want to touch on this quickly, is that another whole theme of this, of the bride, is that God relates to Israel as a bridegroom the same way, bridegroom to his bride. And he speaks throughout the scriptures about Israel as his bride and the promise to take Israel back and to restore her. And so let's look at that scripture one scripture that talks about this in Isaiah 62, verse 4 and 5. So he's saying, you know, through the prophet Isaiah, was inspired by the Holy Spirit to say this, like speaking out to Israel. Isaiah 62, starting at verse 4. Never again will you be called the forsaken city or the desolate land. Now, think about where we are in right now, what's happening in Israel. But this is God's promise. This is what God speaks over Israel. Never again will you be called the forsaken city or the desolate land. Your new name will be the city of God's delight. May all the people from Israel get that in their hearts, that that's what God has spoken over them. Doesn't matter what all the world is saying, that their new name will be the city of God's delight and the bride of God. For the Lord delights in you and will claim you as his bride. Your children will commit themselves to you, O Jerusalem, just as a young man commits himself to his bride. Then God will rejoice over you as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride. Isn't that beautiful? That is just so beautiful. God's promise to Israel to be restored. And the Lord's promise to claim Israel as his own, as his bride. And it says rejoicing over her. What does that look like? What does that sound like? God rejoicing over Israel, his bride. His love over Israel is much more than just an obligation, like, oh yeah, I'll just do this to show that, you know, check off the box. No, it's over the top love. It's an extravagant, glorious love to show his heart for his people. His heart is rejoicing. And so much so that others can see and observe God's love, Christ, Yeshua's love of the bridegroom for his bride, this that we're talking about metaphorically, Israel. The nations will see. The nations will see. And God will have justice. I want to read a section here. This has some really neat information. This book is, I recommend this book. It's called The Last Lap by Sid Roth. And it talks about how at the wedding feast of the Lamb, the Gentile and the Jew will be united. And the walls that separate Christians, Gentiles, from Jewish people will be broken down. And that's kind of the premise of the book. But he talks in this section about the different festivals. And this talking about the Passover, it just has some deeper meaning that I didn't know about the feasts and the wine cup and how that parallels. So take a listen to this. It says, looking at the Passover dinner gives us insight about the last days. The first New Covenant Passover was actually an engagement dinner. It was not just to remember the exodus from Egypt, but it was a promise of a future exodus from earth. In ancient Judaism, an engagement was as binding as a marriage. After the engagement, the bridegroom went to prepare a room in his father's house for his bride. So there was a separation, and then the groom would go away and prepare a room for his bride for when they got married. Right? At the Last Supper, Yeshua drank the third cup of wine, which was called the cup of redemption, which he called the new covenant in my blood. Luke 22:20, if you want to look that up. In the context of the marriage customs of ancient Israel, he was also making a kind of betrothal statement. Earlier, he had told his disciples, and this is from John 14. If you have that verse, you can put it up. John 14, 2b, and 3 is what Jesus had said earlier to his disciples. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. Where I am, there you may be also. Now, just like in ancient Judaism times, these times that we're talking about, we just said that the groom would go away and prepare a room in his father's house. Well, that's what Jesus was referring to here. And he's saying that to his disciples, to the people that would represent the future bride, right? I go to prepare a place for you. So the custom in those days was for a bridegroom to pay a price, either in goods or services, to the father of his bride as compensation for the loss of her presence in their household, like a dowry, they call it, right? In drinking the cup of redemption, Yeshua was saying to his bride, the church, I will redeem you. I will pay the price for you. Yeshua's blood on the cross was the highest price ever paid for a bride. Wow. It released the Holy Spirit to assemble this new bride made up of Jews and Gentiles who become one new man in Yeshua. And he talks about the new man, the one new man that the Jews and the Gentiles being united because we are both part of the bride of Christ. And so when Jesus comes back, he will take us and we will be together with Christ and with our Jewish brothers and sisters. Praise the Lord. I thought that was really rich. It added something to, these Bible verses and understanding the context of it was really enlightening for me. At the rapture, when Jesus comes back, the church will be united with her groom, the promised one he's promised us to come back. And that's when the official wedding ceremony will take place. Yay, who's ready for the wedding? Praise the Lord. And with it, are we ready? That's the question. And with it, the eternal union then, the eternal forever union of Christ with his bride. That's when it will be actualized. And so let's look at these two verses and then we'll close. And then we get to celebrate and commemorate the Lord's death with communion today. But Revelation 19, verses 6 through 9, this talks about this wedding feast of the Lamb. Revelation 19, verse 6 says, "Then I heard again what sounded like the shout of a vast crowd or the roar of mighty ocean waves or the crash of loud thunder. Praise the Lord, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice, and let us give honor to him. For the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and his bride has prepared herself. She has given the finest of pure white linen to wear, for the fine linen represents the good deeds of God's holy people. And the angel said to me, 'Write this: Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb.' And he added, 'These are the true words that come from God.'" Praise the Lord. We are invited to this marriage feast, this wedding feast of the Lamb. And I noticed what was highlighted to me there. It says, the bride has prepared herself. Now we're in the time when we can prepare ourselves. Let's prepare ourselves. Because I don't want to miss out on this wedding feast of the Lamb. It's going to be amazing. I don't know how, and I can't tell you details, but it's just going to be amazing. So let's all be there. Praise God. Revelation 21, this is a little bit further on in the chapter. Revelation 21, 1 through 4, it says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever.'" Praise the Lord. Does that get somebody excited in the house today? Jesus is coming back for his bride. We are his bride. Are you ready for the return of Jesus? Are you ready? He gets us ready by dressing us with the clothes of salvation, draping the robes of righteousness on him. But let's align to that. Let's have our eyes fixed on him, not being taken out by sin, not being taken out by offense, not being taken out by sins or the deceitfulness of riches and all the things that could distract our attention. But let's spend time with this groom who has given his life sacrificially. He loves you. He loves you. Ask for a revelation of his love for you, that he is your groom that satisfies all things, sister. He satisfies every need that you have. And he's done it for each one, and he will continue to do it. And as you draw near to him, he will draw near to you. And he will speak those things. He will whisper those things in your ears. You will be able to, I pray that we would be able to hear, it says in Zephaniah that he rejoices over us with singing. He sings songs of deliverance over us. I mean, that day that I was snotting all over the man's shoulder and dancing with the Lord, that was deliverance. I bet the angels were singing. That was deliverance for me from the past, from the lies, from the old ways of thinking. And it marked something new in my life, being fully united to the one, my groom. Praise the Lord. So why don't you stand with me? You've been sitting a little while. Dun, 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 dun. The bride's standing up. She's aligning. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you, God. We thank you. We thank you, Yeshua. We thank you that you are the one who has given your life for us. Oh, you love us. You love us. I pray a revelation over every heart of your great love, your sacrifice, your amazing unconditional love and affection for your bride. That's us. God, I pray that you would move out of the way every lie, that you would move out of the way any distraction or anything that threatens to take our attention off of you, off of communing and connecting to your Spirit. Father God, I thank you. I thank you for what you're doing in hearts right now, God. You want to reunite hearts. If you need to ask forgiveness for something, do that. If you need to repent, if you need to just get your heart fully in line with him. God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for straying. I'm sorry for making you feel jealous for me. I'm sorry because I've had my attention on the TV or on social media too much, God. I've allowed things to take me off track. I've allowed the lust of sin and all the vices, Father God, that could, I think they can fill me, but then they're gone in a moment and they just leave me feeling more empty and feeling like I am in darkness. They lead me to darkness. They lead me to more confusion. And so, Father, I just repent. I turn away from those things in the name of Jesus. And I come back to your heart, God. I come back to you because you've given everything and you're waiting. You're waiting, God, as we wait for you. You're waiting for the bride to get ready. You say we will have prepared ourselves. So, God, let me be found as one ready, like the virgins who were ready with oil in their lamps. God, let me just move everything out of the way so I can intentionally spend time with you every day. Oh God, we want to experience your presence and your love. Show us, God, what it looks like that we are dressed in this clothing of salvation, that you drape the robes of righteousness over us. Let us hear what it sounds like, the songs that you rejoice over us with. Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord, and we want to be the bride, part of the church that is ready along with Israel. You're coming back, Jesus, and we want to be ready for you. We position our hearts for you. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking of what that looks like. What is each one of us, what is our responsibility to be ready for you, God? It's so exciting to think about this wedding feast of the Lamb. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you today. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.